Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. We got the dream team back.
I'm back, baby.
Better than ever. So Cool Hand Luke, Tony the Tiger, what's up guys? How we doing?
Hey man, I'm here. I am here.
You are here, that is for sure.
Before we were talking, before the show started, we were talking about Bitcoin. We're not going to talk about it today.
Well, we're talking about it right now.
But we are talking. You're like, hey, let's log into our Coinbase account. Man, I have the Shiba.
You have Shiba.
I still have Shiba. I have 5 million shares of it.
Is it worth 0.001 cents?
I got $60 in it.
I was gonna say I thought I had about 20 million at one point.
Oh man! All right,
don't
moving
worry.
On.
It'll be worth a million here soon.
Well, speaking of changing, America's changing pretty drastically. That's pretty obvious. But you know, we saw some pretty big names restructuring how they're going to do business. We could not avoid talking about it any longer. Nancy Pelosi, basically the greatest trader of all time. So we'll get into that. And canceled some pretty big news yesterday. They sure were. We're talking about it quite a bit, but we'll talk about Apple and their electric car project.
So, and Audis and Mercedes and everyone else we'll get to, too.
Yeah. All at once.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So, you know, I'm a big fan of you know, history and our country's history and nostalgia and all that, so... you know, basically the headline from this Fox Business article, Macy's to close 150 stores by 2026 and basically open a new Bloomingdale's, which is going to be kind of more like boutique location.
In each location? Like
oh, No. Far fewer.
Got it.
Yep.
Makes sense.
So, all right, moving on.
Great. Look, at the end of the day, how does the psychology of people change too, like the way they shop? And that's been the big debate over the past 20 years with online shopping, physical locations. And one of the new topics that people don't really talk about or are starting to talk about per se is that the whole metaverse, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, whatever you want to call it, is going to provide a new way to shop as well, you know, mm-hmm. where you can basically ask ChatGPT to go buy you whatever it be and does it all for you, or you can go into your metaverse through these glasses like the Apple Vision Pro mm-hmm. and basically try on clothes that you can kind of see how it look on you, or watches, or how it look on your wrist. There's all kinds of ways this augmented reality, virtual reality type of world we're heading into, if you can afford it. I mean, $4,000 for an Apple Vision Pro. I'm not going to be buying a $4,000 Apple Vision Pro, but this is going to provide you no way to shop, right? So these retail are going to have to adapt to that.
Yeah, for sure.
So is this what the way I view this is like, yeah, there's different ways we're going to learn how to shop, and I'm already doing it. I buy most of my stuff on Amazon. Yeah. One item at a time. Like I'm single-handedly trying to wreck Amazon one item at a time. But anyway, so another big store, you know, Derek, one of our friends shared with us the other day that H&M, you know, like a low cost kind of younger person, you know, maybe under 30 would go there and shop and get cheap t-shirts, cheap pants. Like it's a low cost provider for trendy clothes.
Mm-hmm. I thought H&M was cool.
You walk in and I feel like I'm at a dance party. I know that. But they're closing a 55,000 square foot shop in Vegas in the Forum at the Caesar. That's a big, that's a lot of square footage, right? And so I also read a few weeks ago about how, you know, the low, like everyone has quote unquote money. Everything's costing more, but people are spending more. Yeah. And now these vendors like a Macy's is like, why don't I just open a Bloomingdale and give them the same clothes but just charge more money for it? Mm-hmm. That's what they're. I mean, they're trying to increase their margins by slapping a Bloomingdale's above where Macy's used to be on the building, and now I get to charge $80 for those pair of jeans rather than $45.
Yeah,
and then when they go on sale for 60, they're still making money.
Exactly.
Like that's what's that in my view, that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
The brick and mortar is going away. I understand that, but there's still nostalgia of going in and trying on a pair of pants because every time I buy them online, They don't fit right. Yep. And it irritates the hell out of me.
It is definitely not a perfect system. It does, you know, in some situations it can take more time. I'll give you an example. So, my glasses broke last week. Basically just the stem just fell off right in the middle of the day. So I'm wearing my old glasses now. But anyway, so I didn't feel like going to the mall, you know, having to do another eye exam, you know, paying a high price at LensCrafter. So I went online cause I bought glasses online before. But it was a new tool. I had not seen this. Basically, you could, if you were in front of your computer, it basically took a 3D rendering of your head, and you could try the actual glasses on, like while you were looking in your webcam, and you can, you know, move your head from side to side. It was really, really cool.
Wow.
It really was.
Now, just because, you know, listen, I'm going on 2.5 years dating Anna. I looked online. I'm like, okay, let's take a look at rings. Like, if I do pull the trigger.
Oh, boy, you're putting this out into the universe?
No, no, no. If I do or don't, I don't know. I haven't made the decision, and she knows that. She knows where I stand.
She listen to this podcast?
Probably not. I hope not. But I went on, like, and looked at whatever Diamonds Direct, and they have the same things with rings, too. Like, you can literally upload, like, a picture of your hand, essentially, and, like, it puts what the ring would look like on your finger.
Yep.
I could say that. I looked for myself a ring.
So. I've actually seen a watch app as well.
Yes.
I like that. Mm-hmm. But Derek, so like now here's my cheap ass. It's what I did because my glasses broke and I didn't want to go to the thing and lose, you know, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I bought on Amazon a little toolkit to like put the screws back in and I fixed my own glasses.
Like, well, I fixed mine with super glue, but what happened to mine? it didn't snap off. Just the stem getting held into the frame. It just came apart.
Good thing I can thank God I can see things excellent within about 3 feet of my face. Because man, those screws that go into an eyeglass are small, and so is the wrench.
So while I was in New York, we went to the speakeasy and went downstairs and had a little cocktail. And next thing you know, I start talking to this optometrist next to me, and I tell her like how I've been feeling with my eyes. She basically said, "Luke, you're screwed. Like you're going to need glasses very soon. So I'll be there with you guys very soon."
All right. So all right. Well, that's my take. My take on them closing all these Macy's and stuff is that they're going to put a quote unquote higher end label on the store, charge more money. Even on sale, they're going to make more money.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. But here's the cheat code of ordering online. I figured it out maybe. Find a shirt you like. So I'll buy like 5 different brands of a work shirt. And from there, I will try all 5 on. And once I find the one that fits the best, I send 4 of them back and then order. You know, the same, that one brand, that same type of shirt, mm-hmm. and I'll order different colors.
You guys do it absolutely. Everyone does it wrong. The way you truly do it is you wear the same clothes almost every single day.
All right.
That way you only have like 1 or 2 outfits. It's simple. Keep it simple. When I go out on the weekends, for example, I always wear my black shirt, my black pants, and I have like my little black chain on, and I have my nice jacket that I wear, and that's people, they know who I am when I walk out.
But do you have different black shirts, or is it always the same
shirt? No, it's different black shirts. Okay. Like you have 2 or 3.
It's the same brand.
You have 2 or 3 you cycle through, and then you don't have to worry about clothes.
That could have gone in 2 different directions, that question. That was loaded. All right.
But it's like my friends know, like when I wear the all black, they know I wear all black. That's what I say. Well, they know who I am because they know I wear all black. It's just Luke.
All right.
That's Luke's.
All right, Danny DeVito. All right, let's go.
Slimming too.
All right, so Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi. So she, you know, basically made it to the, you know, front page of the news with her NVIDIA calls. Shows, you know, basically making big bets that NVIDIA was going to do well, and then earnings came out and it blew up, and she made a ridiculous amount of money.
Yep. Yeah, the headline I keep on seeing is like, hey, what is her net worth? Like $90 million?
I think it's probably like 100.
Yeah, it's got to be more than
90,
that.
$100 million. How did she make that when she has been a congresswoman for
her
life, making 200 grand? How did that happen? Right.
Well, you make sweet stock moves like this.
Like is it? So that is crazy to me. Not the stock moves that they are making are actually very sophisticated moves. Call options, futures, like that's not your run. Like, hey, I'm just going to buy NVIDIA stock and hope for the best. Like, these are short term, like kind of like in the know kind of items. Like, you you're putting that kind of money into a call option, like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Like $1 million into a call option. And like playing with derivatives, you either win or you lose. And when you lose 50 to 80% of your money.
Right.
Like quickly, like within weeks. This isn't a child's playing game, right?
Yeah. So she hit big on that one. And then it came out, you know, basically, if you remember around February 10th, 12th, somewhere in there, there was, you know, this mystery, like, you know, giant national security threat from Russia. And about 4 or 5 days later, we find out right after that, Nancy Pelosi bought, you know, the cybersecurity company Palo Alto. And when she when it came out that she made that move, it moved the whole entire market. Yeah. So I think it went up 8% that day.
And so I think what happened is like that news came out and Palo Alto, they went down 35%. So what you're saying is that as soon as it hit that 35%, that's when she bought.
Yeah.
She bought the dip. So that's what, and from there, I think the stock's up 10% in like a week or two. Yep. So if you bought an option, like that option has to be up at least 100% I would guess, maybe more.
Could be. I have two thoughts on this. Number one is, listen, at the end of the day, if you are in circles of, you know, going to clubs, going out to nice high-end restaurants, and you overhear people talking, like, you're exposed to probably information that you might not. The key is to not take action on the information you hear. Because no matter if you're at this level of the high-end level of CEO level, or you're the level of Nancy Pelosi in Congress, you're going to be surrounded with people and asking people questions and going out to dinner with people that are probably going to expose you to information. Doesn't mean you have to act on that. If you're literally in Congress deciding the next energy bill, what the tech sector regulation is or non-regulation is, obviously you're going to hear things, whether or not you vote for it or not, you can hear things that you can take advantage of in your stock portfolio. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that there's some insider stuff going on. The problem is nobody seems to truly care. We talk about it. We say we care. But at the end of the day, what are we going to do to try to go after it, right? Unless someone at the top starts to really question and ask questions, then things aren't going to change. Well, the second thing is she's at the point where now people understand what she's doing.
Right.
So people are going in the trades with her, which is pumping up the stocks.
Right.
So she basically is like now the Elon Musk of stock trading. Everyone wants to own everything Elon Musk touches because everyone thinks it's going to be successful. Same thing now with Nancy Pelosi. So they're actually helping. Everyone's helping Nancy Pelosi out by buying the same stock positions that she's buying.
Right. She has a parody account.
Yes.
Right? On Twitter or X, whatever you know, we keep on saying Twitter, X, whatever. She has a parody account that follows her trades. And I mean, there's over 200,000-300,000 followers. Like you can watch it. Now, I believe they have what, 45 days to ring in their trades. So like,
it's delayed.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a little bit of a delay. The fact that you have to disclose it within 45 days. Like in our industry, in the financial planning industry, you have to get approved and then you get to buy.
That's exactly right, yeah.
So, but there's no oversight for Congress because they make the rules.
Right.
Right? And I believe, you know, Nancy Pelosi tried to come to, you know, to Congress saying, hey, we should, you know, have like not let people trade stocks, yet she's the biggest culprit. And like, is that really?
Is it her or even her husband? I've heard that it's not even her. It's her husband that's like behind the scenes, probably listening to these dinners and making the trades. Like, you know, he used to be a private equity guy, I'm pretty sure.
I would say that if he was a private equity guy, he can connect a lot of dots very quickly. And then if she just says like, hey, this is what they talked about in that meeting,
Or if he's just out to dinner with her to whoever she's talking to, next thing you know, he's just listening in here.
His mind's
around the same circle she's running around.
Must
be nice to know people.
Sounds seriously
nice. All right. I know you guys.
And make the rules.
That was the first time that I can remember. And I'm sure there probably were other times, but I've never seen such a reaction just on the news that, you know, these trades were placed.
Are you guys buying Palo Alto?
No, we missed it.
Yeah, we missed it.
She ran it up. No. Real question is, do you buy Bitcoin? But that's for another episode. All right, moving on. All right, one more.
Well, Tony's like, Luke, don't say a freaking word.
Tony wants to talk Bitcoin
no,
real
I
bad.
Don't. No, I don't.
We'll talk next week. We'll see what happens next week.
All right, can't
How
wait.
About our viewers tell us if they want to listen to hear Bitcoin take? Mm-hmm. Let us know. Send us an email or social media take if you want to hear Bitcoin.
All right, so canceled. So Apple made headlines yesterday. They are scrapping their electric car project. And I believe they're going to be focusing more on
Apple
AI.
Vision Pros.
AI, yeah. I mean, the Apple Vision Pros do look pretty sweet.
Dude, did you see that picture of a guy like sitting on the toilet?
Yeah.
There's a guy that sat on the toilet with the Apple Vision Pros. I think it was fake because it looked too real. Mm-hmm. But then like he put them on and the next thing you know, like you have like a perspective of what he would be seeing. And he's like sitting on the top of a mountain with like the ocean and the sound of waves and the air. It looks like he's just in the most peaceful environment to go to the bathroom.
Sounds like a great $4,000 meditation device.
But anyway, Apple, I mean, this was expected. I mean, who really thought this was going to come true? I don't think that Apple was ever going to designate billions of dollars to R&D, even though they have the cash, to something that probably isn't going to turn profitable, because car market is a very tough market to get into.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just, you have to
They make phones, and then you're going to make cars tomorrow? Like, get the hell out.
And then the margins are very bad, too.
Yeah.
And then you have to make an affordable scale to the point where it's affordable from a scalability standpoint for the average person, right? Which is why most EV companies are going to go under, except like Tesla and maybe one or two others.
So in China, there's BYD. Mm-hmm. They make as many cars and sell as many cars as Tesla here in the US. So you're going to have two major players in the EV game. Because you have and maybe Toyota. Toyota is developing a lot of money. They're worldwide brand.
Yep. They have the scalability.
They have the scalability where US companies like Ford and Chevy and stick to the fossil fuel cars. They're obviously burning up money trying to figure out the EV game. And then you got like a company like, yeah, we're going to make a car. Like, really? Like, I understand the tech. Have somebody else build you the car and you put your technology in it.
Or put your name brand on it.
Have somebody else buy, or go and buy a company.
Partner with like GM or Ford.
Or Toyota or Tesla. Elon probably wouldn't let Apple stuff in his car.
Remember, didn't they try to sell? Didn't Apple try to buy Tesla? Or Elon offered for them to buy it, and they declined. Said no.
Yeah.
Now he's like F you, probably.
I mean, if Apple wanted to make a car, why don't you go buy a company like Lucid or Neo, a very small EV, but they have the infrastructure of knowing something. They have some research and development into that technology. But at the end of the day, I just think there's just not as big of an appetite for EVs. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess we have. There's the mandate, right? There's Biden said everyone's got to drive an EV by 2050 or something.
So here's my quick thoughts. I was at the car show here in Cleveland past weekend with my family, with my parent, my dad, my brother. It was good. It was a little smaller than it usually was, but one of the announcements we heard right around that car show was that Mercedes and Audi are both pushing back now their mandates from 2026, all basically EVs and majority being EVs, so now 2030 or beyond. So now they're like basically doing away with the whole EV side because people are realizing there's just not much demand for it. Now, real quick, off topic, at some of the cars I saw, I'm like, now I'm starting to get a little in my little Honda Civic that I have. I'm like, maybe when my lease comes up in November, maybe I should just take a little bit look at something a little bit better than a Honda Civic. But now I'm getting the itch. Maybe you should talk me out of it. But
I bought a car.
Oh, yeah, talk about that.
I had an Explorer ST. It was very sporty, suspension very rough. So I just went into a different SUV. I bought a Volkswagen.
Nice.
I like it.
These are nice.
I like it. So far, so good.
I think I might go SUV next, actually, because I was sitting in some of the cars.
Yeah.
And my dad, I don't know why he was commenting. He's like, the Honda Civic just, there's like more smaller cars. You just like, I'm just kind of not a small guy. Mm-hmm. He's just like, you kind of just look a little big and not, it's not you. He's like the SUV, if you get a nice little trim, that's more your style. Like you kind of look good in that. So I'm thinking the SUV maybe is the next car.
Yeah. Yeah. That way, I mean, maybe you'll get a hybrid. Who knows?
Yep.
Maybe you'll get an EV.
I will not go there.
My wife's hybrid is nice.
Is it?
Yeah. It's really good. Probably average like 50 miles to the gallon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So. It works. It's, the battery lasts for like 20 miles, essentially. So it kind of switches between gas and electric.
Yep.
Really good. but won't be getting any full electric Apple cars.
But let me ask you guys this. Is our EVs going to be ever truly canceled? Like, are we just going to stop, you think, this whole EV? Like, 10 years down the road, do you think we'll still be in gas cars?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it's too, like, what's the average length of having a car is like 10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the average used car is 10, 13 years is old. Like, if you bought a gas powered car right now, you're at least 10 years from getting another car on average.
Mm-hmm.
So 2035 at least is when you'd have to change that mandate. And if you just do some simple math like that, I guess.
Yep. I think we got a lot more convincing to do. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening this week. Excellent show. Thanks for listening, as always. If you have any questions, comments, show ideas, you know, send us a quick email at info@swpconnect.com. And we'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.